Well, we're going to dive right in this morning. I encourage you, there are announcements. Please be sure to look at your handout. That's what we make them for. Look at your handout. Make sure that you, if you'd like more information, you can always go to our website, tclife.com, and you can find the information that you need there. We are so thankful for every guest that is in the house this morning. I had the opportunity to meet a couple of you. Thank you for being here. So glad to have you here. God is doing great things in our city. God is doing great things in our lives, and he's doing great things in this church. And we are excited about what he is doing in and through us. If you have your Bible this morning, or if you would like to look at the screen, we're going to start. The message this morning is titled, The Community Life. The Community Life. We're still talking about kingdom living. Kingdom living. Kingdom living is living out our faith in community. Community life. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Jesus is giving the famous Sermon on the Mount. And this message was really to his disciples. People miss that. But it says, seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when his disciples came to him, he sat down and he began to teach them, saying. So this was really the sermon to the disciples. Jesus was trying to get his disciples to understand, why have I come? Why am I here? What is the purpose of my ministry? And so he begins to go through this message that we find in Matthew chapter 5 and 6 and 7, outlining exactly the reason why he came and what his purpose was and what his mission was and what the end result was to be. He was about changing the culture. He was about implementing a new way of thinking, a new view on things. He was about establishing the kingdom of God on this earth. That's where we get the Lord's Prayer, as we call it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. He was teaching them kingdom principles. Say kingdom principles. And so as we read this verse this morning, understand that this is a kingdom principle that God, that Jesus was establishing here on this earth as part of his kingdom and the way he saw it and what he saw you and I as being. It says this, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Now, before we move on, I'm just going to say one thing. Salt, as in sodium chloride, doesn't stop being salty. But with every grain of salt, there are other minerals that are there. And when water is added, the sodium chloride is extracted from those minerals. And so what's left doesn't taste like anything. It's not salty. It's just an interesting point. You'll see the significance of it further down. But I want you to understand that the salt doesn't lose its saltiness. It's the remainder of what it is there. So salt is necessary for human life and for the existence of the life of life on earth as we know it. It is a necessary source of sustenance for marine life. The salinity of the ocean affects its density and mass, which contribute to ocean currents, weather patterns, length of days, and the changes of the season. It is a key component in temperature regulation. It supports oceanic life, which is a major contributor to the conversion of carbon dioxide into oxygen. It is safe to say that without salt, life on Earth, at least as we know it, would not exist. I'm going to read to you a small excerpt from that was taken from the Salt Association with regard to sodium in the body, and it says this: sodium is an essential nutrient, but it's something that the body cannot produce itself. Think about that. It's an essential nutrient, but it's something that the body cannot produce itself. You might have this up on there on the slide. I'm not sure. It plays a vital role. Nope, that's not the right one. It plays a vital role in the regulation of many bodily functions and is contained in body fluids that transport oxygen and nutrients. It is also essential in maintaining the body's overall fluid balance. To survive, everyone needs to consume sodium regularly. It is a principal component of a person's internal environment, the extracellular fluid. Nutrients reach your body's cells through these fluids. Sodium facilitates many bodily functions, including fluid volume and acid-base balance. An adult human body contains about 250 grams of salt, and any excess is naturally excreted by the body. Sodium enables the transmission of nerve impulses around the body. It enables the transmission of nerve impulses around the body. It is an electrolyte like potassium, calcium, and magnesium. It regulates the electrical charges moving in and out of the cells in the body. It controls your taste, your smell, and your tactile processes. That's your ability to feel. It's your ability to sense things. It's your ability to respond. The presence of sodium ions is essential for the contraction of muscles, including the largest and most important muscle, the heart. It is fundamental to the operation of signals to and from the brain. Without sufficient sodium, your senses would be dulled and your nerves would not function. I know that y'all weren't expecting a chemistry lesson this morning. But it's important for you to know what salt is, because Jesus said, we are the salt of the earth. Salt is one of the eight elements. Think about this. It's one of the eight elements that make up the earth's crust. The heat of the sun warms the water, causing it to evaporate. The wind over the ocean creates weather patterns that help form clouds. The rain falling from the sky captures carbon dioxide. The acid solution of water and carbon dioxide breaks down the minerals in the rock formations that releases sodium chloride or salt. Did you catch all of that? There's all of this process. We don't naturally produce salt. Our body doesn't naturally produce it. It has to come from an external source. And so there's this entire process that all of creation goes through to extract salt from rock formations. Every living creature on earth needs salt in order to live. Yet our bodies do not produce it. We must consume it in order for our bodies to receive it. Salt, or sodium chloride, is necessary to remove toxins, as it helps maintain fluid balance. It acts as a conductor for the life-giving nutrients to the cells of the body. It controls our senses and nerve communication to and from the brain. You're sitting here going, I feel like I'm back in school. Salt is important to the existence of life. But if you start listening to the things that it does, it's really important to understand this, because you're going to see the spiritual principle here in a minute. What Jesus said, why he said what he said. I'm going to read a couple more excerpts. I think you had it up there. This is from NOAA, which is the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. It says, salt in the ocean comes from rocks on land. The rain that falls on the land contains some dissolved carbon dioxide from the surrounding air. This air causes the rainwater to be slightly acidic due to carbonic acid, which forms from carbon dioxide and water. As the rain erodes the rock, acids in the rainwater break down the rock. This process creates ions, or electrically charged atomic particles. These ions are carried away in runoff to streams and rivers, and ultimately to the ocean. Many of the dissolved ions are used by organisms in the ocean and are removed from the water. Others are not used up and are left for long periods of time, where their concentrations increase over time. Two of the most prevalent ions in seawater are chloride and sodium. Together, they make up over 90% of all dissolved ions in the ocean. Sodium and chloride are salty. Now, this is one more excerpt I'm going to read, and then I promise I'm done, okay? It's really important. This is from Climate Prediction. It's the atmosphere-ocean interaction. The interaction between the atmosphere and the ocean. Listen to this. The ocean and atmosphere interact in many different ways. There can be a net exchange of heat, salt, water, and momentum between them. When wind blows over the ocean, energy is transferred from the wind, slowing it down, to the surface layers, some of which then drives ocean currents. Water can evaporate more easily into warm air, especially if it is windy. As it evaporates, it removes heat from the ocean. If it then condenses to form a cloud droplet, it releases the heat into the air. This is one of the main ways they get their energy. Salt is continuously brought into the ocean by the rivers draining off the continents, which carry minerals dissolved from the rocks they run over and deposited as sediment on the ocean floor. Water evaporating or freezing at the ocean's surface leaves the remaining water saltier, but rain, which is not salty, dilutes the salt concentration of the surface ocean. In addition, when it's really windy, salt droplets of ocean water can be blown into the air, and these can form the basis of cloud droplets. Let's look at this picture for a minute. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, God said, let there be a firmament. Right? He created the firmament, which was the separation of the waters from the waters. He separated the waters from the waters. There is this interaction that we just got through reading about. What does it say? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. We see here that it's saying that as the wind blows over the ocean, it's lifting up It's exchanging heat. It's lifting up. It's creating these clouds. It's carrying them over the land. The land begins, the rain falls onto the land, and that rain begins to wash over those rocks. You and I are made of what? It says, God formed Adam from the dust of the ground. We're made from the earth. So here is this water that's falling over the rocks. And as it hits these rocks, it begins to break down the rocks. My mind is racing to the scripture, the prophecy of Isaiah. I'm sorry, I believe it's Jeremiah. I'm getting my prophets confused here for a second. Where he says, I will take the hearts of stone and I will make them hearts of clay. I will make them hearts, I'm sorry, of flesh, hearts of flesh. The water of the Spirit, as the rain falls over these rocks, it begins to dissolve them and it extracts salt, which is this element that is necessary for all of life to exist, for all of life to be sustained here on this earth. Jesus said, you're salt. Jesus said, you are salt. There is a constant interaction between the ocean, the sun, and the wind. This interaction brings about perfect balance for the existence and nurture of life on planet Earth. As the sun heats the water and the wind blows over the water and the clouds are formed, the energy of heat and air and water join forces to bring about rain upon the earth. There is a constant exchange of energy between these three that keep regenerating the earth and restoring balance. In the book of Romans, Apostle Paul says, in Romans chapter 8, it says, deep calls to deep. Deep calls to deep. I want you to see that there is this interaction between the Spirit of God and the Spirit of man. There is an interaction between the Spirit of God and the Spirit of man. As the wind of the Spirit begins to blow over the waters, the Spirit of our heart, of us, of who we are, there is a energy transfer. There is a process that begins to happen, and it brings things back into balance. There is this constant process of regeneration. God is wanting you and I to understand that He is working in our lives to bring about the change that is necessary that can impact and change the world and allow for there to be this balance, this equilibrium that brings life to those around us. We are called to live in community. We are called to kingdom living. And God says, you are salt. Think about the things that it does. It says it regulates the electrical charges moving in and out of the cells of the body. Regulates the electrical charges moving in and out of the cells of the body. I think of electrical charges, I think of energy. I think of energy, I think of power. I think of power, I think of the Holy Spirit. Forgive me for seeing everything spiritual. That is off, why we're here, right? And so I see Holy Spirit, and it says that salt regulates the electrical charges moving in and out of the cells of the body. Now, what did the apostle, and I'm gonna get my apostles mixed up now. What did the apostle Peter say? He says, you're living stones, right? The apostle Paul said that we all are members of one body. Yes? Each of us is like a cell within a body. And it says salt regulates the electrical charges that are flowing in and out of the cells of the body. Could it be that God uses us in relationship with one another to allow His Holy Spirit to flow, to allow His Holy Spirit to interact, to allow His Holy Spirit to begin to work and to move and to change and to grow and to make us more like Him? Could it be that that salt that brings balance to the fluid, this is interesting, the fluid that everything, all of the necessary elements, right, that our organs need, it makes sure that there is enough fluid that's flowing through. Salt, as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, as we allow Holy Spirit to flow in and through us, He uses our life as the conduit through which He begins to reach and touch the people around us, thus bringing to them the necessary elements that they need in their life, that they need in their life. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. This thing keeps printing out double-sided. I apologize. Okay. So as we live out our faith in community, we become the salt that is needed in the life of those around us. Equally so, we receive the nutrients, the salt that we need from others around us. John chapter 17, John chapter 17, verse 20 through 24, says this. I'm not praying only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. Let's go to the. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. Jesus is praying this prayer. He's praying this prayer and saying, let them be in me. I am in them. I am in you. You are in me. It sounds confusing. And yet at the same time, when we begin to look at the way the wind and the sun and the ocean interact with each other, and salt is all in the mix, we begin to see and understand that there is Holy Spirit at work in our lives, and God is moving in our lives, and Jesus is moving within us, and yet we are in Him. We are in him. A couple of things to highlight from this. It says, I gave them the glory that you gave me. What is this glory? Right? It's the Holy Spirit. Said that whenever Jesus was baptized and he came up out of the water, the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. The Holy Spirit, that was the glory that God gave the Son, the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, I've given that glory to my disciples. He said, you are in me and I am in you, referring to his Father. And then he said, may they be in us. It's that baptism in the Holy Spirit, that immersion into the Holy Spirit. Then he said, I am in them and you are in me. I am in them and you are in me. The Spirit of God within us is the same power of Christ. It's the same authority of Christ. And then the Bible says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I want you to see yourself as housing the very authority of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All three in one within you. Can you see yourself in that way? Can you see yourself as the one that God is using to begin to carry him to the world around you? Thank you, Jesus. As Holy Spirit works in our lives, he produces within us life-giving sustenance. This is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We are the element, the salt, that he uses to help transfer his power to those around us. Now let's look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 21. It says, dear friends, let us continue to love one another. For love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his own one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his Holy Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. As we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first. If someone says, I love God, but hates his fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God who we cannot see? And he has given us this commandment. Those who love God must also love fellow believers. So how does this all work? How does this look practically? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 through 11 says, "The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen." As God takes us and he allows his spirit to pour over us, there is this transaction that takes place where he takes the hardness of our heart, he takes the brokenness of our life, he takes all of the things that people would say are useless, and his spirit begins to take out and extract from us the necessary nutrients that are needed to bless those and touch those and sustain life, his life, in those around us. His Holy Spirit within us, us living within him, produces this. Now, salt is just an element. Salt is not the source. Salt is just an element. So before you start getting worried, understand that it is the power of the Spirit that's doing the work. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that does the work. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that works through us to minister to those around us. But we have to be in relationship. We have to be in relationship. First, we have to be in relationship with God. And then we have to be in relationship with one another. And it's through that process of loving one another as God loved us, through that process that we, as salt, are being used as the element through which God is able to flow and touch those around us. I'm going to close with this scripture. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 through 47. So then, those who accepted his message were baptized, and on that day, about 3,000 souls were added to the body of believers. They were continually and faithfully devoting themselves to the instruction of the apostles and to fellowship, to eating meals together and to prayers. A sense of awe was felt by everyone, and many wonders and signs, attesting miracles, were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed in Jesus as Savior were together and had all things in common, considering their possessions to belong to the group as a whole. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing the proceeds with all the other believers, as anyone had need. Day after day, they met in the temple area, continuing with one mind and breaking bread in various private homes. They were eating their meals together with joy and generous hearts, praising God continually and having favor with all the people. And the Lord kept adding to their numbers daily those who were being saved. This is the beginning of the church that Jesus Christ established through his apostles. We see that they were in relationship together. Now listen, I'm not suggesting that we all go live on the same piece of property and grow vegetables or something. That's not what I'm saying. Pastor Josh is not suggesting that we go into communal living, please. But there is something about caring for the needs of others. There's something about being in relationship with other people enough to know that they're going through something. I mean, I'm going to try not to preach at people. I want us to feel the love of and the heart of the Father this morning. The Lord wants to use you. The Lord wants to use you to touch the people around you. The Lord wants to use you to reach out and to heal the brokenhearted. But you won't ever know that people's hearts are broken if you're not in relationship with them. We as the body of Christ, we as the church, need to allow ourselves to get out of this me, myself, and I moment and say, there are people that need what I have to offer. There are people that I need to be in relationship because there are things that they have that I need. It's when we are in relationship with one another that the Holy Spirit can then begin to work. If you're constantly in isolation, in your prayer closet, as they say, right? God, use me. God, use me. God, use me. God, use me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to be used by you. And then we go out and we're walking through Target or Walmart. Who's God going to tell me to touch? Let me just walk up to this random person. Do you know Jesus? You're going to hell. Come here and let me pray for you. And you pull out your oil and you slap it on them. Maybe God leads you at times to go and do random things. I'm not negating that. That's not what I'm trying to say, but I'm saying that that's not the norm. The normal average way that God uses us, that God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, is when we're just in our everyday life in relationship with one another. As we're having conversations, as we are sitting together having meals, as we are just doing life together, that's when Holy Spirit is at work. And there's something about being together, as the book of Proverbs says, iron sharpens iron, where we begin to feel strengthened and encouraged. If you're going through a state of depression, if you're going through a frustrating time, the thing not to do is go hide in your bedroom, in your bed. The thing to do is to go and get in relationship with others and start going and feeding the needy or caring for the people that are on the side of the road or whatever it is that God is leading you to do, but begin to help others, and guess what? You start feeling better. That's just the way it works. That's the way it works. God made us to be in relationship, and as we are in relationship with him and with others around us, he begins to use us for his honor and for his glory. And Holy Spirit can flow through us. When Jesus said that you are the salt of the earth, he was saying that your life is the element my Holy Spirit will use to bring healing and restoration and freedom to those around you. As we allow ourselves to be immersed in him, he takes our hard hearts, our brokenness, our bitterness, and through the refreshing rain of his Holy Spirit, he brings wholeness and healing. Just like the rain falling on the rocks produces an element vital to life, as we are immersed in the Holy Spirit, our life becomes an element vital to the lives of those around us. Kingdom living is living out our faith in community. God uses people to communicate to us and to demonstrate to us his love. This enables Holy Spirit to begin to work in our lives, drawing us to Jesus. I'm going to say that again because I don't know if we all caught that. God uses people to communicate to us and demonstrate to us his love. This enables Holy Spirit to begin to work in our lives, drawing us to Jesus. There was always a starting point for somebody. You didn't just get born into this world a Christian. You didn't just get born knowing Jesus. I don't care if you were born under the pew of the church, as they say. There was still a little devil inside of you that had to get evacuated. And Jesus had to get inside. There was a point where somebody communicated with you the love of Jesus. There was a point where somebody said, in relationship with you, in communication with you, let me tell you about Jesus. Maybe it was a message that you heard here, but you came because somebody somewhere along the way was praying for you, was speaking words into your life that sparked a desire, an interest, a need that told you, well, maybe God is what I need. Maybe Jesus is where the answer is. You came into the body of Christ because somebody was in relationship with you. And because that somebody was in relationship with you and speaking life into you, Holy Spirit had access into your life to begin to draw you, to begin to pull you towards God, to begin to bring you into relationship with Jesus. It's important to understand that. As we encounter the love of Jesus, we are transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. As we encounter the love of Jesus, we are transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we come into relationship with Jesus and we feel that love that completely confounds us because we recognize and we understand that there is nothing about us that is good and we can never get it right on our own, and yet here is this Savior that loves us. Here is this Savior that forgives us. Here is this Savior that redeems us. And we open up our heart to Jesus and we say, Jesus, come in. Holy Spirit begins to work right away. Holy Spirit begins to work right away in our lives. As we are immersed in the Holy Spirit, he begins to use us as witnesses of his love, of the love of the Father. We as believers are the community. We as believers are the community. The community is the church. The community life is the church as demonstrated in Acts chapter 2. We're the community. Church, community life. We are the community life church. We need to begin to look for ways to connect with one another and care for one another and serve one another. This is how we love one another and how we show that we love God. Let us be the community. How do we know that we belong to God? By the way we demonstrate His love to one another. This is not something that we can do in or of ourselves. We must allow Holy Spirit to fill us and to use us as only He can. Continue to seek. Continue to knock. Continue to ask. He will fill you with His Holy Spirit. He will fill you with His Holy Spirit. Let Him become your source. The only way to belong to the family of God is to believe in Jesus. The only way to belong to the family of God is to believe in Jesus. That's the first step. That is the first step. Maybe you're here this morning and you've heard this message. As the musicians are coming, and you've heard about this community life and living in community and being in relationship, and you feel isolated. You feel alone. You feel empty. You feel broken. And you say, I need that. I need to be in community. I need to be in relationship. I need a place that I can say I belong. I want you to know that God in His sovereignty created us to belong to the family, to be in relationship. And He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross, to restore us to relationship with Him. And He is offering that if you and I would receive Him as our Savior and our Lord, if we would believe in Him, He will make us His children. In the moment that we become His children, we become part of the family of God. And the moment that we become part of the family of God, we belong. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you're here today and you say, I want to belong to the family of God. I need a Savior. I need to know that I belong. You feel the Spirit pulling on your heart saying, this is your moment. This is the moment of salvation for you. If you're ready to surrender it all, if you're ready to give it all to Jesus, and let His Holy Spirit begin to pour over the hard heart, the broken pieces, and melt it all away, and bring wholeness and healing and restoration, and give you a place. If you are ready for Him to be your source, you want to give your heart to Jesus, would you just raise your hand this morning, right where you are? I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I just want to know if there's anybody in the building that doesn't know Jesus. I want to give the opportunity for us to know Him. Is there anyone that would say, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.